time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, you know what that music means.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
It must be time to check in with Faith Jolly. Got to have a little Faith here from the Division of Wildlife Resources. Took a little while to get past the intro of that song, however. The things we do to have a little fun here on Saturday mornings. Faith, good to talk to you.
You guys are the best. I love that I get my own theme music.
You always get your own theme music. We had Heather Talley on with us last week, the Upland Game Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources, bragging up the fact that the spring turkey hunt is upon us, and talking about the fantastic success story that we always do when we're talking turkey populations in Utah. There are some proposed changes, though, coming to Upland Game, specifically turkeys and rabbits we wanted to talk about in preparing our listeners out there. By the way, Russ Smith is also with us. Hello, Russell.
Hello, Tim.
All right, just had to get that in there. There are some proposals as it comes with turkeys that you want folks to be educated on.
Yeah, so just like we just finished our proposal rounds for big game. Now it's time for our upland game, our turkeys, a couple other proposals that are coming up. So, yeah, we're kind of asking the public to check these out on our website and then give us some feedback. There's a few proposals right now, actually. A lot of them have to do with just minor tweaks to the season hunting dates. We can talk about those and kind of go through those if you want.
Yeah, I noticed the list starts not with turkeys or rabbits, but with ptarmigan. Did I say that right? Ptarmigan?
Yes.
I don't know how many people actually participate in that hunt, but sandhill crane hunting season also looks like they're up for some adjustments.
Yep. Yeah. So the ptarmigan season hunting dates, we were just trying to kind of line them up so they're more consistent with our other upland game hunting, changing it to start on September 1st rather than the fourth Saturday in August. And apparently there has been an increasing trend of hunters that are going for ptarmigan. So that was part of the reason, just kind of making that more consistent for them. Sandhill crane, we're actually proposing to extend one of our hunting units season dates, primarily because in kind of that East Box Elder area, we've had a lot of sandhill cranes starting to migrate and then stay longer in that area. So they're actually causing some damage to crops and things like that. So we're proposing to increase that one.
Sorry to ask a dumb question. Do you eat either of those species?
I never have.
Yeah, me either.
I think some people must.
Okay. I just think maybe the attraction to something like ptarmigan is the fact that they figure there's less people out there hunting for them and they won't have to deal with everybody in Orange.
Yeah, that is kind of one of the big draws for our upland game hunts is, not quite as crowded. And some of them are pretty challenging. I've heard chukar hunting is really difficult. So kind of just gives you that added sport factor.
Russ, how do you like your sandhill crane cooked?
Well, I like to overcook them, actually.
Do you?
Well, same way that I like my seagulls and eagles cooked,
Don't go there, Russell. He always wants to get us arrested for something.
You knew I was here.
I should know.
And I'm like, I'll pretend like I don't hear this.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anyone that hunts sandhill cranes.
No, I don't either.
I'll have to ask around.
That's why I asked the question, but I should know better than to ask it of you, because I'll always get an answer that's going to get us in trouble.
I would like to hunt sandhill cranes because I hate them.
Why?
I don't like them at all because they have interfered with my floating rivers and fishing. They're a brutal bird. Don't ever mess with them.
Oh, yeah, they're targeting same fish species that you are, probably.
I've been chased through swamps or wetlands, you take your pick, but just because I got a little too close to the nest.
The nesting ground?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They stand 8 feet tall.
I was going to say, their legs are longer than yours, and you don't run that fast.
No, not exactly.
Hey, the other changes that are out there have to do with youth hunts, and it's so important to keep these youth hunts going. And I'm guessing, Faith, that this is meant to try and rejuvenate or get some more people interested in getting out there.
It is, yeah. The statewide youth and quail and pheasant hunts have just kind of been underutilized for the last couple of years. And so these proposed season date changes are really, yeah, just to try and get more kids out there. They're proposing to basically move it so that it's closer to the general season opener. In the past, these have been held closer to the middle of August or October. And so they're, yeah, just trying to kind of get it in line so that they're hunting and then it gets, you know, their parents excited because their hunt opens the next weekend. So, yeah, we also are trying to get them to be able to target more of these, you know, pin-reared pheasants so that they can have the opportunity to harvest those birds, you know, throughout the week when they're released. And then others can harvest them during the general season hunt.
And then the other one is extending the youth pheasant season for the same reason, just to give kids and the adults that are with them more of an opportunity to hunt.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And kind of just, yeah, get more people excited about it, have their hunts a little bit closer together so that they're both kind of getting excited and can, you know, target some of these birds that have been released earlier.
What's the thought behind allowing air guns to hunt for turkeys in the state?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's another one of our changes. It would be to allow turkeys to hunt or to hunt fall turkeys just in the fall on the fall season to use air guns and also to use air guns for rabbits and hares hunting. And it's primarily just to kind of make it more consistent with big game hunting. We passed that a couple years ago that you can use air guns for hunting big game as well. So just kind of making it more consistent, giving people another opportunity to kind of have that weapon diversity, you know, if they're wanting to go out and hunt some of these species.
We mentioned when we started the show an hour ago, Russ, that this would be caliber of 22 or larger and could fire either pellet, slug, or broadhead tipped bolt or arrow. Do you have any experience at all with the air guns?
You know, I do not. I've never used an air gun. And I was actually talking to Heather about this. And, yeah, apparently you can use all sorts of different, you know, propellants out of these air guns. And I guess a lot of people like them. They're kind of becoming more popular, which is why we've, you know, proposed to allow these in some of our different hunts here in the state.
Russ, and I would think it'd be easier for the kids to use, too.
Probably, but you know, the nice part about air guns is there's not much of a recoil on them.
Yeah,
and of course they're fairly quiet. You might be more successful hunting with air gun because of that, because of you're not going to scare as much game off, I wouldn't think. You can scope them; they're accurate. The speed on the projectile is similar to a regular firearm, and you can shoot from, yeah, 12-gauge slug on down to a 22 or smaller.
Mm. Right.
So there's quite a bit of choice.
Yeah. No real changes in the management plan, are there? Because we're sort of smack dab in the middle of a six-year plan that was put in place, 3 years ago?
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, that's one of our proposals, too, is just to actually just extend that for three more years, kind of leave it the same because, yeah, there's not a lot of revisions needed right now, not really any specific changes. So they're wanting to just kind of extend that current plan that we have in place.
There are some other things that have to do with invasive species and other things that people may want to look at before participating in the RAC meetings. Will these be virtual meetings, or are they actually going to be placed in meeting houses around the state?
Nope. So these, just like our recent big game ones, these are all going to be virtual as well. Yep. So you can look at all of our proposals online. You know, you can read them through kind of that paper form on our website, or you can actually watch those video presentations of the different biologists kind of presenting this and why we're proposing the changes we are. And then you can give all your comments, your feedback online as well. There's a comment form there. It just has to be submitted by a certain deadline, you know, about 3 days prior to the virtual meeting that's going to be held.
Yeah.
And then those meetings also can be watched online. They'll be live streamed. You won't be able to submit comments during those meetings. You have to do that prior, like I mentioned. But, yeah, you can watch those. So you kind of see what's being passed, what's being approved, you know, some of the different feedback that are coming from our regional advisory councils as well.
Cool. And not to add to any confusion out there, they will run beginning May 12th for the Central Region at 6 p.m. and conclude on June 4th with an early one, 9 a.m. So just check all of that out. Or actually, that's the Utah Wildlife Board meeting that happens on June 4th. The RAC meeting in Northeastern will be the last of them on May 21st for those of you that want to check that out. All right, so lots to talk about. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and again, yeah, check that out on our website. We'd love to hear the public's feedback.
All right. Always great to check in with Faith Jolly from the Division of Wildlife Resources. Russ, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, one more time, we're joined by Bob Grove down in southern Utah. There's still much to talk about. And unfortunately, some sad stories about small businesses down there that depend on those national parks to be open to keep themselves going. And it's become really quite a personal thing to Bob Grove because he has been for so many years helping a lot of those businesses survive and come up with ideas on how to increase their business. So stay with us. That conversation is next on this week's edition of KSL Outdoors Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. And again, Bob Grove joins us here. In the last half hour, we were talking, Bob, and our listeners actually will rehear that part of our conversation right after a news update on the half hour because of weirdness going on right now during the pandemic. But anyway, we were talking about the fact that you have these great relationships with rural communities and these small businesses that just live and die. And that's not an exaggeration, but live and die with our national parks. And their stories are heartbreaking to me.
Oh, they're crazy. You know, it's just hearing some of this. I shared one with you recently from friends of mine. They're friends of mine through business that own the Broken Spur Inn and Steakhouse in Torrey, Utah. Now, Torrey, Utah is right at the gateway into Capitol Reef National Park on Highway 24, just off right at the junction of Highways 12 and 24. It's a small rural community. It depends on tourism. I was talking to Francine Hallows. She and her husband Gary own the Broken Spur Inn and Steakhouse. She said by the middle of February, their bookings were up 275% from last year.
Think about that.
275% from last year.
Up.
And now she says all she does is spend her whole day putting in cancellations. She's getting at least 30 to 50 a day.
Mm.
What's really tough in these rural communities that is such a small population that even if they keep their restaurants open, there's not enough of a resident base there to sustain any kind of business. So they end up having to shut down altogether. The only thing that keeps their businesses open are tourist visitors to these small communities like Bluff, Utah, and Blanding and some of these other counties in San Juan County and Wayne and Emory and all these really small rural southern Utah counties are so dependent on tourism. So, you know, our hearts are breaking over this. So, you know, what you're doing next week, Tim, going to Bryce Canyon is going to be so helpful. We got to get the message out to the folks in the Wasatch Front where the larger population densities are and some of these places where they may not be considering right now a trip to Capitol Reef or down into San Juan County or into these other rural areas, but do. Dude, this is a deal season. Boy, I tell you, you will not. Right now, rates are probably half of what they normally are right now and probably will remain that way through most of the summer. We're hearing of businesses right now that aren't even going to open until next fall because they depend so much on the national domestic inbound travelers from back east and other areas, and we're just not going to see much of that.
Right.
We'll see very little of any of that, and so they depend mostly on our region, our residents who live within the drive markets of this region. That's what's going to sustain them.
Well, I think you're talking about Red Mountain that says they're going to just wait it out till at least September, right?
Yeah, because their customers are not from this area, this region. They're mostly from back east and other markets farther away. And so it's too costly to stay open. Mm. And it's a real shame because Red Mountain is such an iconic resort for us here in Washington County. And I don't think this is going to be, unusual. I think we'll probably see others that may not even make it through it. But My push right now, my partner and I, we're going to be traveling around to these rural areas as we will just when we see you next week. And we're going to be showcasing them and show all the virtues and merits of coming and visiting places, all the beautiful landscapes and recreation and activity. And we're going to spend our time doing that this year to help these guys out. And we're not getting paid to do that. This is our industry, and we feel an obligation for its survival to help these folks out.
Maybe Russ and I can make an appearance on Road Tripping with Bob and Mark.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, there you go.
you know, Bob, in my opinion, I would say this is going to be the greatest opportunity for us locals to see our national parks and state parks. This opportunity may never happen in our lifetime. It's going to be less crowds, fewer busloads.
Less cost.
We need to all locally get out and see all these parks this year, this summer.
Well, if you remember, it is. You're exactly right, Russ. This is going to be, like I said, this is going to be a year of deals. But don't do it just for the deals. Do it to support our community.
Yeah,
you know, tourism is the number three leading industry in Utah. It saves every household at least about $1,300 a year in taxes.
Hmm.
It's a really critical industry
wow.
in our state, and they need us. They absolutely need those who live in this region to come and support them and get them through this time.
Yeah. Just back to Francine for a second here from Broken Spur Inn and Steakhouse there in Torrey. You forwarded an email that she sent to you, and she says, look, no people, no steakhouse, no money, and no money from the government yet either. It never ends. And I can't imagine the range of emotions, but she tries to sum it up. Discouraged, angry, sad. She says right now they've got rooms that are half price and still no people because people have been scared into believing that they can't go to these places. And I'm here to tell you, it is the best thing you can do to recharge your battery, reset your mind, get your anxiety levels down. And as Russ just said, an opportunity to see things that may have been tough for you in years past with all of the other traffic, all the other people coming from outside the state. It really is going to be a rare opportunity.
It will be. This will be different. This will be different from any other season we've seen in recent years. It's like Russ mentioned, we won't be seeing many buses, if any.
Yeah.
I mean, buses will be a rare sight this year because those are mostly international groups that are in the motor coaches.
Well, they don't want to squeeze you in there either.
No. And so this is going to be a different scene than what we're accustomed to seeing. And as things open up around us throughout the West, we're going to see a change in the crowding and that. It's just not going to be the same. Right now, we're just kind of at the threshold of the restrictions being lifted. But as we get a little bit further into it, it'll change the dynamic of how things are viewed.
Yeah. All right. We got a break for the half hour. But just a reminder, next week, we're going to be at Bryce Canyon. We will be right at the gates there at beautiful Ruby's Inn, and they've got some fantastic deals. Their restaurant will be open, good food, half the price that you would normally pay for this time of year. If you're looking for a place to get away, we'd love to have you come and join us on the broadcast 6 to 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Guys, sit tight on the other side of the news on the half hour. Oh, by the way, Ruby's website, rubysinn.com. Bob's going to hang with us. We'll talk more about all the things that are happening in southern Utah when we come back.